We're gonna take you. We're gonna take you. The old show's gonna take you on the road. That's right, we're gonna take you. We're gonna take you. The old show's gonna take you on the road. In the locker room, baby. Back in the hotel, in the restaurant. Where we go, you never can tell. Oh, you didn't know. This is how it goes. You on the road with the old show.
What's up, everybody? This is episode 2 of Osho on the Road, the Road Diaries, the Tales from the CWI Invasion Tour out here on the Maritimes. And we are having a lot of fun. This morning, I spoke to you, well, I guess yesterday now for all you guys by the time you hear this, I spoke to you by myself for about 10, 15 minutes and just sort of laid the land out for you and told you what was going down and gave you a little update. Well, right now it's a few hours after the first show of the tour, and everyone's feeling really good about themselves because we did a pretty bang up job, if I do say so myself. And I'm sitting here chilling in a hotel with a couple of the boys, and you know, they felt like coming out here and hanging with the crew and hanging with the family and saying hello. And first off, he's just sitting to my left right now. He is an Osho favorite, to be fucking sure. This guy is been voted how many times now? 2 years or something? Fans' most favorite guest co-host?
Probably three or four years.
No, 6 years. More than we've been doing the show. Yeah. He won the year before we started.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Secte de Uno, Rico Montana.
What's up, everybody?
You feel good to be doing this again? It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Although your little bitch isn't here.
My bitch isn't here, but I'm still taking orders from Newfoundland. Half-breed ass goes for top dollar.
How's Daniel going to sell his ass in Newfoundland when he's back in T-Dot?
Well, I'm taking bookings. I have a profile picture of him.
Is it like I'm Plenty of Fish or something?
Yeah, and I'm taking orders.
You ever notice Plenty of Fish is like 90% workers?
No, I actually have never been on Plenty
of Fish. I've never been on either, but every time I talk to the boys, they've all got an account on Plenty of Fish.
Yeah, and a couple of them married girls from Plenty of Fish.
Oh, yeah, of course.
The fuck is Plenty of Fish?
Ladies and gentlemen, also joining us, let's introduce him. Another one of the Osho favorites. The one and only X-Pac in the house.
What up, man?
Plenty of Fish is like one of those.
I don't know why I just said what up, because we've been sitting here
for hours.
Fucking hours.
In your hotel
like
room.
Just fucking, like we just got together or something. Yeah. Fucking great, man.
Plenty of Fish is like one of those dating sites where people actually just use it to hook up and get booty
just
calls.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's free too. You wanna go on? We'll make a profile tonight.
No, man.
See what happens.
I would feel like kind of like a loser if I did that.
So
I've always just kind of promised myself I'd never like do an online thing. Yeah.
Well, for you especially,
fucking luck with women over the years, you know.
Yeah, but for you especially, being so fucking recognizable, people would think if they saw your profile, they go, "This is fake."
Yeah, they probably would. Right?
You know,
watch my profile end up on some fucking gay dating site or some shit
because it's not already there.
Because my profile on that gay site is not me. It's totally an imitation.
Work.
Never. That's why you're in my room.
Yeah, why are you two naked together under the covers?
I'm in my boxers. Nothing on underneath. And I'm sitting really close to Rico right now.
Yeah. Rico's already wearing a condom.
I got it.
He's working his hand.
Closer and closer right to your knee.
I got this hot one piece latex on right now.
Are you ready for action? So when I talked last to everybody this morning, it was like 7 o'clock in the morning. You guys are all still sleeping. Actually, Sean was on his way here.
And I still wasn't asleep.
No, you were still just tossing and turning. You had a rough night.
I had a rough night.
And So I was just letting everybody know what the deal was. And I told everybody, Sean, I said, you know, for the most part, everything's good. But we had one or two guys who missed their flights for whatever reason, delays, weather, you know, all that kind of shit. But now it's nice. We got everybody here. I told to be here. It sucks, right?
Yeah, it does. And, you know, I do know he wanted to be here.
Yeah.
And that's the truth. You know, I mean, it's fucked up situation, you know.
It's cool, though. He's on TV.
Yeah, it's great. I'm real happy, like, that they decided to utilize him, but, like, right. They could have waited until after the fucking tour.
Yeah. I mean, whatever, right? It is what it is. But here's the good part. We did the first show tonight of this tour. And you know what? I swear to you, when I walked around during the show at intermission and afterwards, and I didn't hear one fan go, "Fuck, it sucks that Kevin Nash wasn't here," because it was a good show.
I got there. What was it? Right at intermission or
you
something?
You got there right at intermission. Yeah.
Yeah. So
sped from the airport.
Unfortunately, I can't give any kind of a critique of the show, but I'll take your word. And I just know that. The people were just fantastic.
Yes. Radio broadcasting class.
They just seemed like they were just starved for some good wrestling.
Oh, man. My God. They were so hot. Right from the first match on the show tonight was Rico and Turk and Selleck. And Turk came out doing an Arab gimmick with a towel on his head, and as soon as they saw him, they wanted to lynch him. And then you came out, and I remember you said to me, and you may not want me to talk about this on the show, but I don't give a
fuck.
That's
fine. Go ahead.
You said to me, you know, because you were in Brantford, and you were so over the next night in Port Colborne, and then you said, yeah, but how's that going to play when we go out east? Baby faces. And I said, fuck that shit. They're going to love you. And the people ate you up the second you hit the curtain.
Yeah, it was a great feeling. Just like Sean said, it just seems like this is wrestling country, and they've
really
just been starved for wrestling, and it was great. Like, I love the crowd tonight, and the show was hot from top to bottom. No one left there disappointed.
No.
There's no way.
I hope not, man. I really hope not. I'm sure there are going to be... Excuse me, sorry about the cough. Don't have a cough button in the hotel room here.
Yeah, something just...
Yeah, what was I saying anyways? Before we had a little bit of technical.
Yeah, we just had a hiccup.
But,
I think you're just talking more.
Yeah,
about
no, show. I was just saying there might have been some people that were really bummed out because, you know, Kev didn't show up.
Right.
But I think, you know, those same people left happy.
Right.
You know, at the end of the night, it sure seemed to me like they did anyways. And I was really, really...
And you were in amongst the people after the show for quite a while.
Yeah. Yeah, I just, you know,
you were out there shaking hands.
I didn't want people, like, to know I was there and they not get a chance to see me if they really, like, if they hung out afterwards, like, for that long, like... I'm never going to, you know, man.
I know.
Donnie, I'm never going to, like.
If you had your way, you'd go around and shake every single fan's hand.
Yeah.
I know you're like that.
I would. I really, honestly, and truly would. Like, because, I mean, I'm not just saying this, I mean, because it's kind of corny sounding, but I really love interacting with the people.
I know you do.
And they can tell, you know, they can tell the real from the bullshit, from the guys that, you know, maybe don't necessarily give two shits about them.
You know what's funny on that same kind of topic? On our way here to St. John's, Rico and I flew in together. And we were at the elevator at the airport in Toronto, right where I was with Sean about a month ago when you and I were at the airport in Toronto. And then remember we ran into a fan who just walked up to you and, "Hey, X-Pac, oh my God, I'm a huge fan." And you were real cool and you reached in your gimmick bag and you pulled out an 8x10. And you signed it for him, right?
Yeah,
you remember?
Of course.
Right. Yeah. And then I told Rico that happened right where we were standing. And I go, man, Pac was getting recognized like crazy, right? Enrico goes, so you give him a picture? Yeah. You charge him for it?
Did you really say that?
Yeah, Enrico said that to you. He goes, do you charge him for it? I go, fuck no. He just handed it to him because he's a fucking stand-up
guy.
I won't
charge people at the gimmick table. If they get past the money taker, they get the fucking picture for free.
Because oh, don't let that out there.
I'm just saying because I refuse to fucking exchange money. I mean, because honestly, you know, if it wasn't a business situation, I would sit there and do it for nothing.
Right, right. I know you would.
That's the truth, so.
Rico would have charged him.
No, I wouldn't have charged him. You know. But one thing I sincerely learned from yourself and from getting to know Kevin, but even from before listening to interviews and stuff, is and I live by this, is I do everything in the ring for the people and even out of the ring for the people, because without the people, there's no business. So for the business to stay around, everyone has to be a part and appreciate fans. And I did learn that from listening to guys like Sean and Kevin.
Yeah.
You guys have always been about the people.
Yeah, and it's and that's how that's my philosophy when I go into the ring. It's all about making the people happy, and you know, that's the whole, like, you know, and my philosophy on putting a successful show out is that at the end of the night the people leave fucking happy, and you know, they're fucking play wrestling with each other on the way out the door because they're still so psyched up over, you know, over all the action and getting a chance to see, you know, a lot of guys that, you know, Donnie, I don't know if I mentioned this to you.
What's that?
But these people in the Maritimes, for the most part, well, especially this town, St. John's, I know for a fact they haven't seen me since I was 1, 2, 3 kid.
Right. I remember you said that. We went out for grab a bite to eat.
That was like
16, 17, 18
years ago. That's ridiculous.
Does make you feel up there a little bit?
man. You know, I'm fine with it, though, as far as the age.
X-Pac was 15 back then. It's not like an old
fart, you know. It's just I've been around a long time.
No, you were 14 years old when you were the 1, 2, 3 kid, right?
Something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You looked it. You were so clean-faced and everything.
Well, you know, it's all about making the people happy.
Yeah.
That is my philosophy.
For sure.
And it's about, and when you're doing your match, when you're in the ring, it's not about fucking, you know, me. It's about them.
Yeah.
You know, whatever it takes to make the people react, you know.
Yeah. So. You watched a lot of the show tonight, right?
Yeah, I watched it. It was great.
What did you like? I mean, aside from your own shit.
No, I'm a spot monkey. I never like my own stuff.
You're such a spot monkey tonight, getting all your shit in there.
You know what I really liked?
What's that?
I liked the six man. I love.
Oh, that was. Let me tell the people that was X-Pac. Well, here's how it went down. There's a new faction in CWI. It's led by the guy formerly known as Robbie McAllister. He's changed his name. He's now the Guillotine, Robert Graham. And he's been flanked by his real-life best friend, John Bolin, who's from, I believe...
Pennsylvania.
And he's, you know, big, muscular, cut-up dude. Scary-looking dude. And he's got...
He's cute.
Yeah? You have a crush on him?
Kisser.
A little sloppy with the tongue.
There's a
rumor that he's a selfish lover, but I'll still give him a shot just because you can't believe everything you hear.
Right. You got to try him out. Wild Man Gary Williams is part of that crew. He's from out here. And you the know Flatliners. Wild Man
Gary Williams, when I first started, he was wrestling those Emile Dupree's
tours in New
Brunswick and stuff. And I remember following that and really watching him. So it's kind of cool for me to.
Yeah. He's been around a long time.
So he's been since 1997.
Yeah. And the Flatliners, of course, they're part of that crew. So they did a thing where they came out early and they started shit canning everybody and fucking everybody. They kicked the shit out of you.
Yeah.
And then.
It's fake, though.
The New Age Outlaws.
it's real. It's real when I win and fake when I lose.
That's the best line ever.
I know, right?
Yeah.
So then the New Age Outlaws came out and they said to the Flatliners, look, we want those fucking belts because you screwed us out of it. Actually, it was funny.
He's like, that whole shtick was my favorite part of the show.
It was so well done.
Yeah.
It was so well done.
It was entertaining and it was like what the people needed.
I'll tell X-Pac because he missed that part. So Road Dogg and Billy came out. And they saw that whole faction in the ring, and they sort of goofed on Robbie, like, we don't even recognize you. You know, we don't care who the hell you are, but those belts there, we want those, you know? And Asylum jumps on and says, we don't owe you anything, because the last time you were in CWI, we pinned you for these belts. And Billy's like, yeah, but I was drunk that night.
Yeah, I was going to say, but neither one of them remember it.
Shoot.
So it didn't fucking count.
They were only here in body.
Keep on going.
Yeah. So then they decided to do a thing where Robbie's like, well, you don't earn a title shot, but me and the Flatliners will come kick your asses later tonight if you guys got a friend that'll back you up. And I already looked in the building, and your friend's not here. Because, shoot, Sean hadn't arrived yet. You're still at the airport. And the people like, right away, people started buzzing, right? They're like, wait a minute. X-Pac's not here either? Because you hadn't been at the meet and greet.
Right. Yeah.
So they're like, another no-show? What are they going to do here, right? Because Kev's a no-show. Is X-Pac a no-show? What the fuck? So people start getting hot. So then we came back later, and you showed up during intermission, and we're like, you just hide out, right? And then when it came time, Billy Gunn for their match. Billy Gunn's running through the crowd, finding like 6-year-olds to be their third man in the crew. It was so funny. And then finally, they did the big announcement, and Pac hits the curtain, and the place just fucking explodes.
Pat Patterson would say the place went banana.
Pat only likes one banana at a time.
Fucking A, though. He never liked mine, though.
No?
No.
Did you slip it to him?
I kind of fucking felt jolted, rejected. So.
You got to offer your banana to Pat Patterson, Rico.
Yeah, that's how you get a job, don't you know? Haven't you ever heard any of those stories?
Yeah, they're all shoot.
Hey. Gotta do what you gotta do. How do you think I got in the booth at WrestleMania?
Who'd you put over there?
Me and Pat went to karaoke, actually, a couple nights before Mania.
Well, yeah, you told me about that.
Yeah.
Were you singing Raining Men?
Yeah. Actually, how do you know?
Yeah.
It's on YouTube.
If you went to karaoke with Pat, then I guarantee you I did it my way.
Yeah. That's his shit.
Yeah, that's his deal, and he's great at it, and he has a whole spiel he does that he, before he sings, and he talks about being gay, like, depending on the situation. And it gets over like a motherfucker.
Yeah.
You know? But, anyways, yeah. So the fucking, the place went crazy.
Oh,
I was so happy, man. And then I came out, and I didn't know where the fucking aisle was. So I'm just walking down the side of the fucking, where the bleachers start.
And I'm standing at the gorilla, and I'm watching, and I go, where is he going? And then I'm thinking, oh, maybe he's doing what Billy Gunn did and walking through the people. And then I go, oh, no, he's lost.
Yeah, I was for a shoot.
The GPS to the ring.
This is the most fucked up aisle I've ever seen in my entire life.
Well, because it was like an S or something.
Well, I just wasn't in it.
What was you said that was your favorite match,
yeah,
right?
That was my favorite match, but that was the my favorite part of the show.
Like the story that led to it?
The story that led to it, but even just the entertainment for the people, like
plus when the people are led to believe that, okay, now we got another guy that's not here.
And then he
and
is.
And then you show up. It makes them feel like they got something extra when they didn't.
Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. It's a little shell game we did right there. Eh?
That's all Pat Patterson philosophy, man.
Yeah.
Always make the people feel like they got something extra.
He taught me that while I bent over.
No.
No.
You're not his type.
Totally not. Too burly. So anyway, it was a fun night, man. It was
main event was really good too.
Main event was very good. It was Tatanka and Scott Steiner, and Tatanka beat up Gary Williams early in the night in about four and a half minutes. And then he said, "You know what? I didn't come here for a workout, and there's an opening at the top of the card, and I want it because I'm undefeated here in CWI, and I want that strap, Scott Steiner." And man, I mean, Tatanka hit Steiner with everything in the book. You know, he was suplexing him, he was throwing him around, he was dropping him on his head, he gave him the big fucking finish, the big lumby drop. I mean, he hit him with everything there was.
You know what, Scott Steiner, I think Scott, is very, I don't know if misunderstood's the right word to use.
But I think that's an excellent word.
But, you know, I always found Scott to be extremely easy to deal with, and we've always gotten along great, and I was never ever hurt by either Scott or Rick, you know, mm-hmm. or his brother, you know, when we would do tags with them. And I remember hearing stories about guys like seeing their names across from the Steiners on the card.
Know,
on the lineup, and just like going, "Oh shit."
Right.
You know, I'm gonna get my ass kicked. And you know, it was always nice, snug stuff, but that's how I like to work anyways.
Yeah.
And I've had way worse guys, you know, fuck me up than that. Those guys were always just great, man.
I'll tell you something. You know this because I've joked with you about this before, right? Because this is one of the questions I get from our listeners all the time that I never have an answer to. Who's your favorite wrestler? Or who's your favorite wrestler of all time? And I get that question all the time, right? And I really don't have an answer. I don't. I have a list of guys who I like. I have a list of guys who I liked for an era. You know what I mean? I like what they did at that time. You know, and there's a big... I mean, I'll talk about Yokozuna till I'm blue in the face because I just loved so much of it. I'm a big man, Mark, to begin with. But you know what? I've never said this on the air, and I'll tell you right now. I swear to God, this is the truth. Scott Steiner, when he had the mullet and the singlet and the whole deal, and remember, like, when he was tagging, and even he started to do a little bit of a breakout on his own, the thing I loved about him was he was big and in shape, and he was a real fucking innovator. Like, a lot of Absolutely. Shit he did in the ring was just, you know, I remember one time he did a promo in WCW, and he's like, "Hurricane Rana? The hell's that shit? That's a Frankensteiner. That's my shit." Right. And all these little guys here are doing it, you know? And I was like, fucking right, you know? Yeah. And like the Steiner screwdriver and the I loved how every spot had their name in it. You know, the Steiner line, and, you know, I was such a mark for everything they did, and especially because Rick was so gimmick heavy, right? Yeah. The dog face gremlin and everything. And
yeah, remember when he had that fucking facey Alex?
Was that's right.
Alex he drew on his hand.
Drew on his hand, yeah. The predecessor to Sacco.
Yeah. I remember before Rick was a full-fledged baby face and he was with, like, this, what was it, the Varsity Club?
Yeah, yeah.
And he started getting over as a baby face because they were, like, you know, Sullivan would fucking always browbeat him and
abuse
him. And
yeah, he was the retard of the crew.
Yeah.
And people felt sorry for him. Yeah, he's like our Frank Fronte.
And the people just, they felt a connection with him. And you know, obviously, you know, if you're followed wrestling, you know that he was just extremely popular, him and his brother.
Oh, huge. But I was always a mark for guys that, you know, made a mark in their era by leaving a thumbprint. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes it could be you introduced a new style. Sometimes it could be like you did something for business that can never be forgotten. In Steiner's case, he introduced and innovated a whole new style, especially for guys his size. And he started doing stuff like all the variations of the suplexes and everything he did. I mean, the belly-to-belly suplex is still one of my favorite spots ever. I love that move, you know?
Yeah,
I
mean, the tilt-a-whirl
slam. The tilt-a-whirl. Yeah, you know, man.
It was always so easy to work with those guys because they had so many trademark things that we could build a match around.
Right, yeah.
It was just so fun, man.
Yeah, man. I love that kind of shit. So, anyway, Who's your favorite wrestler? I'm not gonna do that to you. I'm just playing.
I'm like you were saying, I have favorite like of different types of wrestlers. Like I
right.
have like certain guys that are my favorite big guys and certain guys that are my favorite flyers.
Where's Rico Montana on that list?
Not
on the list.
I don't have a category for Rico.
He's in the sponge bath list.
Yeah. I got my own section.
Yeah. Section. Yeah. This is getting gay.
Get it. Shit. The people could only see what was going on here.
Get your hand off my wiener.
keep rubbing.
I'm almost done.
Listen, I mean, we're talking about wrestling here. Or talking about, well, maybe
it's a little bit of everything.
Shut up.
Yeah. No, what were you saying? You're some of your favorite guys from different pieces and different.
Yeah, you were talking about Yoko, and he was awesome, man. Like a lot of people don't realize just how fantastic he was.
Oh man,
he could go.
600 pounds. He's running across the ring full sprint.
30-minute match. I've seen him and Taker do fucking half an hour matches.
I know. Who else? Who else in the history of the business has been in the same ballpark as him size wise? You can count him on one hand. And there's never been a guy that had his kind of
nobody that was as effective at doing it
right
doing the job as he was. Like, you know, the way that he would sell, and you would have to chop him down like you chop a tree down.
Right.
And, you know, he would start rocking, you know, you'd like hit him with, you know, a clothesline.
Yeah.
Start, you know, going on like, you know, getting wobbly, and finally he'd take that bump, and he'd make the people like, you know, he'd make you work for it, and then make the people wait, and then finally, boom, the people would go crazy. Like, I worked one match with him. That was on like Coliseum Video or something, and
I have that match,
and I think he took one bump for me. But it was on like the spring, and the place went nuts when he fucking finally bumped.
Of course,
but it was, and you know what? There's another guy, man. Never felt him.
Oh yeah,
and
really?
You know, he dropped a leg on me, and you know, he did his finish on me. You know,
well, several times. We were talking. I can't remember if it was with you, Sean, or if maybe it was with Tatanka. Yesterday we were talking, but we were saying, man, like Samoans, they're all just fucking great. You know, they're solid in the ring. Every one of them, you know,
good people too.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's just something in their blood. I've never seen a shitty Samoan work-wise.
Yeah. There might be ones that aren't as great as the others, but you never seen a bad one.
And all of the ones in the family, you know, the Anoa'is, they're all, I mean, fucking excellent, I think, you know.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
So, I could talk about, you know, the head shrinkers.
Mm-hmm.
That was an awesome tag. They used to be called the Samoan SWAT team.
Samoan
SWAT
team, yeah.
And there's a team that really gave the Steiners a run for their money,
mm-hmm.
you know. And when they were the head shrinkers, I remember... you know, Fatu Rikishi.
Yeah.
We were at Lowell Auditorium doing TV one time, and he fucking splashed a guy from the top rope to the floor. And, holy shit, was what everybody said. And it, you know what? It was so smart. I'm sure it took a lot out of him when he did it, but...
Right.
What
was the reaction
on
like?
the opening, you know, of every show?
Oh, the signature at the start. Yeah,
that's right. Yeah, that fucking move was on every opening.
Right.
Of every show. Because right. It was so freaking amazing.
Yeah. Man. Yeah. Those guys are awesome. Maybe you should be a Samoan, Rico.
Actually, you want to know something funny? Someone said to me. One of the local guys here said to me, he's like, what's your nationality? I think I see some Samoan in you. Like, nah.
Are you making that up?
No, shoot.
You ever felt any Samoan in you?
And just 2 minutes ago, that was getting too gay.
Yeah. Well, I had to step it up because we started talking wrestling again. Get back on track with the gay.
This is my first time in Newfoundland. How about for you, Sean?
Well, you said yours like 17 years ago.
Yeah, man. Weren't, where were you like 5 minutes ago?
Yeah, pay attention, Rico.
That, man.
I was just staring in your eyes.
It's my first time.
It's your first time, yeah, too, right?
I've never been out this way.
Isn't it fucking nice here, though, man? I mean,
everyone's so friendly.
Yeah, and it's just, flying in into this place, I was like, just wow. The bluffs and the cliffs.
Oh, yeah.
Into the airport. I'm like, this is unbelievable.
You know what?
Man.
I'll tell you how beautiful it was. And this is, I'm not a picture taker guy. I'm a guy who never takes pictures of anything. And as we were landing in the plane, I pulled out my phone and I started snapping shots because I'm like, this is fucking cool. You know, this is really neat to see. And I'm not a picture taker, you know?
And everyone here really is nice.
You know, you want to know something funny? I didn't tell either one of you guys this yet. I had breakfast this morning at about 9 a.m. at the hotel restaurant. And Billy Gunn sat down. And actually, Billy Gunn was there before me, and I joined him. And we were just shooting the shit, talking. And the waitress comes over, just so sweet. Cute as can be. So sweet, you know. I don't mean cute like the way she looks. I just mean like her attitude. You know, she's bubbly and whatever. And she comes over, and she's all like, you know, is there anything else I can get for you? Is there absolutely anything I can do for you? Can I refill your coffee? Can I get you another plate of eggs? Because that's what Billy was eating, just eggs. Can I get you anything else? And Billy's like, yeah, you know what? There is one thing you can do for me. You can turn your ass around, go in the kitchen, and when you come back, be in a bad mood. Because you're too goddamn happy for 9 o'clock in the morning. And I'm like, Billy, I think that's kind of their gimmick out here. And he's like, I don't give a shit.
You know? How different is Billy like now, man?
He's awesome.
I mean, oh, just the both of those guys, right? Like, now you see these guys have the magic back.
Oh, my God, you know, man.
They're both healthy.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just, it's so happy. I'm so happy to see it.
I know.
I mean, you know, after the last time, you know, we were here, or, you know,
right,
they were up here. I mean, they don't have a problem talking, you know, me talking about it. They were,
well, the funny thing is that what you're talking about,
yeah,
we've never addressed it publicly, ever. We kept it quiet and we left it alone. But I mean,
they were fucked up.
Right.
Well, actually, Brian. Brian had a real bad deal.
He had a bad night.
Yeah, and it was scary. It was scary for a lot of people that were around that have never like witnessed it.
Yeah,
you know, it was a little bit scary for Billy and I.
Yeah, yeah.
Actually, and we were, you know, it's something that we've experienced before, but right, that was like, you know.
But that night was
that was the turning point for Brian and his right, life, and that was the moment that, you know, he went from the bottom
to get help,
the barrel, and started coming back up.
Right. You know?
And it's just, I'm so happy because I love both of those guys. I've known them both for years.
Mm-hmm.
And I consider them some of my dearest friends. And,
yeah,
and to see them, like, you know, on, to see them both in there and lucid and with it and going out there and being able to give the people, you know, everything they deserve. It's
right,
just awesome to see, man, and I'm just really, really happy for both of them.
Me too, and I'm glad that here at CWI we were able to give them another shot, you know, because the versions of them that we had the last time they were here were not really them, you know, and I'm glad that we were able to say, look, well, I kind of made the point to a couple of guys in upper management, and I said, you know, if we don't ever book a guy that's had a problem, we'll never book anybody.
I damn sure wouldn't be here.
Right. On reputation alone.
But those guys were helpful from the start of the show to helping all of us.
Oh, yeah.
You know, giving feedback. And
yeah.
Even when it wasn't
Did they tell
asked.
You to quit the business?
Yeah.
That's good advice.
Yeah.
Think about taking it. Me too.
So
we can run away together
down to Mexico. So yeah, man, it's been a lot of fun. I'm really glad that things have all gone well. The next two shows are going to be a different animal altogether. The big man is coming in. The Hulkster is coming in. That's going to be a lot of fun. Hulkster is going to be with us in Grand Falls, Newfoundland, and then again in Corner Brook, Newfoundland. And then that's it for the Hulkster on this trip. And
what will Knobs do when Hulk leaves? He won't have anybody fucking stick his nose up their ass. What's so funny about that?
Shoot!
I'm only serious.
I know. I love. I'm only serious. I love that shit. Yeah. What are you gonna do?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to see. I love Hulkster, man. I see him in the gym quite a bit, actually.
Yeah. Right.
So
back home.
Yeah, back in. Well, he lives in Bel Air Beach, and I live in Indian Rocks Beach, and right. The other gym is just.
Shitballs.
Yeah, right down the fucking street from the both of us.
And, right.
You know, we're not like, you know.
Best pals?
No, nothing like that. But, you know, we get along great.
Right,
you know?
Right.
He's always been real good to me. And you know, when I came back from my injury and they were doing the NWO, he really, like, made it for me. Like, I couldn't have come back from an injury any better
right.
than coming out and hitting Hulk Hogan over the head with a chair
right.
and him fucking bleeding buckets of blood in the ring for me.
Like, yeah.
And that was him. That was his decision to do that.
I mean, that validates you right there, right?
Yeah, and I needed it too because coming off of that whole X Factor and all of that, you know, that was a kind of a slump I was in, you know, in my career. So that was... You know, I'll always be pretty grateful to the Hulkster over that, you know.
I'll say this about Hulkster, and that is, and I have talked about this on the O Show in the past, and I'll say this because I haven't discussed this with either of you two guys, but you hear the stories. Everyone hears the stories about Hulk Hogan and what he's like in a backstage capacity, right? We've heard those stories since WCW. We hear those stories in TNA that it's Hulk's way or the highway, and Hulk is always going to do things the way they best serve Hulk, and all this, like, you hear about all this stuff and that he's difficult to work with and he's this and he's that. And you know what? I know it's just one experience that I've had to this point, but when we were in Brantford for Brawl at the Bush back in May, and Hulk arrived at the building, and he looks at me and goes, "So what do you want to do tonight, brother?" And I look at him, and I'm like, "What do I want to do? What do you want to do? You're Hulk Hogan. I figure you tell me what you want to do, and we'll make it work." And he says, no, this is your deal. What do you want to do?" And he was just so fucking chill, and he was just so cool. And he's like, "What's going to make this work tonight?" And he's like, "You know, should I just go down there, talk to the people, rip the t-shirt and say goodnight?" And I said, "You can do that." I said, "If we're going to blow the roof off the joint, I'd love to see you throw a big boot, you know, that's all, you know what I mean?" And he's like, "I understand. Okay, let's do that." You know? And he was just so cool. And I was like, I can't fucking believe he doesn't know me from Adam. And yet, because he knows that I've been put in this position, he's like, "Yeah, well, okay, we'll go with it, you know?" And I was just, I don't know, man. I just, Pac, I found him fucking awesome to work with.
You're always going to have Hulk Hogan haters.
Of course.
And I've been on the opposite side of the track from him politically at times.
Okay.
But that was all, that was strictly, you know, either, you know, differences business-wise, you know, with my...
Right.
Friends and I and him and what he had going on or
right.
Or whatever. But like that to me, like, was just, even when he said like I couldn't get the mustard and stuff like that, right, after I got fired by Eric, and then I, you know, went and came on TV and said he sucked, and, you know, if he stopped too short, Eric would go so far up his ass he'd know what he had for breakfast. You know, that was all shit Hulk could care less.
No.
Right. Honest to God, he could have cared less. He knew, you know what, we even right directly after that, you know, there was never a personal problem there.
You get
ever, man. I just think that, there's a lot of jealousy, man. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of jealousy. And yes, there's probably times where he's been, because nobody's perfect.
Right.
Me included. I mean, you know, there's been, I'm sure there's been times where he's guilty of some of the stuff that people, you know, have said, but that doesn't doesn't mean that's how he is.
Right.
Like, you know, generally. And, right. And I've always had a great experience with him, man.
Yeah. I mean, there's always different ways to take the same story, right? When someone's trying to put their twist on something or someone's trying to put their thumbprint on something, anyone could turn it around and go, yeah, well, you're just looking out for yourself, or it's buddy system, or it's this, or it's that. And, you know, at the end of the day, if he thinks that that's what's best for business, then that's what he really feels is best for business.
Yeah. And also, you got to understand, like, the environment that he was in a lot of times, that's all everybody was doing was looking out for themselves.
Right.
You know, there was right. no there was no thought of, like, you know, what's best for, you know, the overall show.
Right.
Or the overall product, or however you want to put it. And I just think, you know, that thinking about things that way, you know, what's best for the people, what's best for the product. Mm-hmm. If it happens to be what's best for you at the same time, that's so be it. But, like, you know, it should be what's best for the product.
Before we wrap this shit up, I want to also say, so Hulkster's joining us tomorrow night and the night after, Grand Falls and then Corner Brook. Also on this tour, we are going to be joined. Our roster is going to be bolstered by a few other guys that are joining us along the way.
Yeah.
Brian Knobbs is going home for a couple days.
No, he's not.
No, shoot, he is. He's
is
going.
He?
Yeah, yeah. He's not going to be with us in Sydney or Sackville, Nova Scotia. He's going to do the Micro Championship Wrestling.
Oh, that's bullshit, man.
Well, he's not happy about it.
That's not fair, man.
He's not happy about it, but it's a TV network flying him in and out. We're going to miss him.
Yeah, we are.
But when when he goes and does that shit, our roster is going to be supported. Steve Carino's flying up, and he's going to be joining us.
How can you replace somebody like that, man?
Like Knobs?
Yeah.
Maybe if we could get Kev back, it would help a little. But no, that's silly.
I love Brian, actually.
Yeah, he's awesome.
I actually do love
Brian James.
No, Knobs. Knobs, actually. Like, seriously, I do have love for Brian.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, I mean, he's just not the easiest person to be around sometimes.
He's a little loud.
All the time. Doesn't mean I don't have love for him. I've known him forever, dude, since I started.
Yeah.
You know, regardless of any
still family.
Yes.
Still family.
If he was in a fight, I would be right there
with him. Of course you would. So Steve Carino is going to be joining us. We're also going to be joined on this loop the last couple dates, Val Venus. You've linked up with him a few times.
Absolutely. Yeah. I've worked with Val.
For a while, right? Did you guys have some European title shit going on for a bit?
Not really anything, just except for, like, single one-offs on TV and that, you know?
I thought for some reason you had a title thing.
No, actually, we never worked a program together or anything like that.
Oh, really? Okay.
But we, you know, we're no stranger to each other, you know?
Of course. Well, you guys were there at the same time.
Yeah, and we always had fascinating conversations with him because we both are very interested in politics. And
he is so political.
Yeah,
he can debate for hours, man.
Yeah. He's a little bit more rigid on his beliefs than I am. Like, I'm more, like, open-minded, and I see other people's points of view a little bit.
He's way more rigid than I am, but because he's so intelligent with how he presents his arguments, I love talking to him about shit, you know?
Yeah.
He's so smart.
Very. Very. And I got to say, like, on most things, probably 80% of the stuff he says, I have a hard time arguing.
Right, right. I when we get to Harbor Station in St. John, St. John, New Brunswick? Excuse me.
As opposed to St. John's.
Newfoundland.
It's easy to confuse those two.
It is.
I've done it many a time.
Yeah. You fly to the wrong place.
It's happened. I ain't even shitting you.
So in St. John, we're going to be joined by your good pal, Mick Foley.
Yeah. Yeah, man.
You're happy about
this.
Yeah,
for sure. As a matter of fact, Mick and
look
I
look at the smile on Fox's face. Have you had a sponge bath with Mick Foley?
He's just a genuinely like one of the best, classiest people that I've ever met, in not just wrestling but in life.
Yeah.
And he's amazingly intelligent, and the charity work that he's doing right now really hits home for me.
Right.
And so it's you know, when he came out, when I saw him at the Gathering of the Juggalos,
last weekend, yeah.
You know, he came up to me and he's like, nothing against anybody else, but he actually told me this and it was really touching. He's like, I was looking forward to seeing you more than anybody on the whole deal.
Wow.
Yeah, it really meant a lot, man.
For sure.
It really meant a lot.
That's nice. That's a good little putover right there.
Yeah.
I'll tell you a quick little side story about Mick related to this tour. Uh-huh. So, obviously, fans realize that in the CWI office, we have a guy. I'm not going to say his name because some of the boys want to punch him in the face. We have a guy that handles the flights and the travel arrangements for everybody, right? And that guy was putting together everyone's flight itineraries and shit like that. And he's like, okay, what about for Mick Foley? Where is he flying out of? And I said, you know what? I'm not sure where Mick is in the world right now because he's always busy, right? I don't think he's home. I'll call him and find out. So I holler at Mick, where are you, Mick? Where are you going to be before the St. John show so we know where to fly you from? He goes, oh, brother, I already took care of my travel. What do you mean? He's like, well, I was thinking about it. And for you guys to fly me up first class, it's going to cost you way too much fucking money.
Wow.
He goes, so what I decided to do was I decided to fly myself into Maine. I'm going to rent a car and then I'm going to drive the rest of the way because it's going to be like less than half the price. So I want to make sure you guys are cool with that. And I'm like, he goes, my thrifty nature prevails and helps you guys out.
Wow. You know what? That just does not
happen.
Fucking happen.
I know.
I mean, I could see myself maybe doing something like that, but that's really like
off the charts.
Yeah, man.
Like I was, you know, because first class flights are expensive. And his travel deal he put together is legit less than half of what it would have been for the whole deal.
Nobody
round trip.
Else would have ever done that, dude.
Is that fucking crazy?
No, and I'm talking about great guys would have never done that just because, I mean, they wouldn't have thought about
it. Dude, a lot of local indie shitheads wouldn't have done that deal. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And this, we're talking about a legit legend.
Yeah. Like one of the biggest names in wrestling, you know, ever. So
that's fucking crazy, right?
Yeah.
I couldn't stop profusely thanking him. I'm like, Mick, you didn't have to do that. No, it's fine, brother. Don't worry. It's cool. I like driving. It's cool.
Wow.
What a great dude. Yeah. I can't wait for him to get here and stick in someone's fucking throat.
Yeah, me too. We actually talked about, because we didn't get a chance to really sit down and catch up, you know, at the gathering because it was kind of chaotic. But
really?
Yeah.
I can't imagine.
But you know, he put me over huge on the commentary on that paper, on that Legends and Icon paper.
Yeah, huge, man. That's nice.
And he just, you know, we made it a point, you know, when he left, he's like, we're gonna fucking make sure that we spend some time together and catch up and, you know, talk about things.
You do
and
it
whatnot.
On the 26th when he's up here.
Yeah, that's what we're planning on doing. So,
speaking of Socko, I got heat with your boy Santino because he's fucking jacking Socko. You see what he's been doing lately? He's got the Cobra, and now he's wearing a whole Cobra sleeve, and he's hitting guys with it's a Cobra Socko.
Yeah,
yes, it is. He's
you know,
smart.
That's still it's okay though. It's a
tribute. I'm playing.
That's kind of a tribute.
I actually think it's really smart because he's been doing the Cobra thing for a while, and that just sort of takes it up another level, you know?
Say what you want, man. Santino's, I think people love him.
Oh, yeah.
And I really enjoy it. Every time he comes out, man,
he's fucking entertaining.
He entertains the fuck out of me.
Yeah.
You know what I take pride in? Osho listeners remember this. When I did the interview when I was in Mexico.
Yep.
When he first got signed to
the Your first appearance on the Osho.
First appearance ever on the Osho. And they asked me about Anthony Corelli and what can he offer in WWE. And I said, you guys are going to be surprised.
By his charisma.
How charismatic he is and how entertaining he is. And at first, everyone, when he debuted, you know, when he first did that babyface little run, everyone was like.
Over Umaga.
Yeah.
He debuted with a win over Umaga.
Yeah.
In Italy, right?
In Italy. Yeah. But everyone thought, oh, this guy's got no charisma. This guy's got nothing.
And right. I
was like, just wait.
No, the line you said was, I'm paraphrasing, but use these words. I don't remember verbatim because I've been sitting in this room for a while and there may have been a little bit of smoke in the air, but I'm paraphrasing. You said something to the effect of he has so much charisma. I'm not saying he's like this guy, but he has the kind of ability that The Rock has to engage people.
Yeah, I probably use something like that.
Yeah, you mentioned The Rock specifically, and you said, I'm not comparing him to The Rock, but he will communicate to people the way that The Rock did, and I remember Daniel just shitting on you. What do you mean? This guy's a cheeseball Italian, and he can't do shit. And years later, Daniel became the biggest fucking Santino fan on the planet.
He has something that can't be taught. He just knows how to get people to gravitate to him.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's like the most important.
I hope he doesn't get fired.
I don't think there's any. Mind you, you'd never be surprised, but like, I don't think there's any danger of him going anywhere anytime soon. And they're happy with him. He doesn't cause any problems.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
Yeah, he's
no fights with Jim Cornette lately.
What?
No fights with Jim Cornette lately.
He got in a fight with Jim Cornette.
You didn't know about that story?
No.
That's when he was still in OVW in developmental. Tell him that story, Rico. It's all over the internet. Who cares? All
right. when he was first in OVW, he went home, came back. He had his daughter with him. Went to the OVW taping, and all the guys in OVW were supposed to be scared of the Boogeyman when the Boogeyman first debuted in OVW. So they were all planted and told to shit their pants.
In the crowd.
The Boogeyman running. He got there late, and he was with his daughter. So he assumed that the Boogeyman was putting over his daughter, like playing with his daughter to some effect. So he got caught with a smile on his face.
On camera.
Like, you know, wasn't shitting. And yeah, Cornette flipped out on him, slapped him.
Shoot slapped his face backstage.
Yeah. Well, he didn't do anything.
Santino ate it.
He ate it.
Wow, that must have been really fucking hard. Because I would have fucking knocked his ass out. I know Jim's got a bad temper, man.
Mm-hmm.
But that's crossing the line, man. That goes without saying.
Yeah.
And I like Jim. I believe it or
I
not,
do too.
I like Jim. A lot of people think that there's like he not at all. Like I get along great with Jim, and I find myself agreeing with them on most subjects. You know.
Right. Yeah.
It's just he's
very old school.
He's just not with the times on some things. Like mm-hmm. I think he's great. Like I think it's great that Ring of Honor has him.
Well, he adds something that they didn't have.
Yeah, and they all, but they also have younger guys there that can fucking add that, you know, contemporary thought.
Right.
Know, to the
right.
Mix.
Right. Well, I think in ROH, I mean, it's a good combo having him and Delirious. You know, because they're just so fucking diametrically opposed. But I got a feeling they must butt heads every now and then because of that, you know?
When I was at Chikara for the King of Trios, I sat out and spent some time with Delirious.
Yeah.
Just he and I out back in his car doing something I'm not going to
hand jobs. Did you get to wear the mask?
He's a really interesting guy. Delirious,
yeah, he is.
And he's like into a lot of the same interests as I am. Like he's like, you know, got an interest in you know, conspiracy theory type things. And,
right.
And so do I. And I got to talking with him. I never really had a chance to. And I found him to be very smart. Man.
Yeah, he is.
And so I can see that being a good pairing, and yeah, they're gonna butt heads, and that's okay,
right?
As long as you know,
you know, I have a real thought process and belief system, like especially when, you know, keep it in our world of wrestling, right? When you're talking about creative teams and shit like that, if you have more than one guy in a team and they don't butt heads, then you have to fire someone on your team.
Yeah, you need, yeah, exactly.
Because 100%. If you just have a bunch of guys agreeing, fuck that shit. Something's wrong. Because you can't both be right all the time. You know? You have to have some different sauces in that sandwich. You know?
Absolutely. I agree 100% with that.
I think we should wrap this motherfucker up. Because we've been yapping for a long fucking time. And
get the fuck out of my room.
Yeah, Donnie.
The Filipino massage boy is coming by to put over Rico and X-Pac.
The Flatliners.
This is fun. This is good. I think people are going to like this. Maybe if we have time, tomorrow's going to be busy, man, with the Hogan Show, Osters. But if we can do it, maybe I'll do another one of these tomorrow. If not, for sure, the day we do Corner Brook, we'll do another one of these O Show on the Road gimmicks. And hope you guys all like this. As always, email me directly while I'm on tour. Don't send all your shit to the general mailbox. Send it to me directly, bigdaddy@theoshow.com. You can still call the O phone, 414-44-O-SHOW. You can text message me directly by going to broadtexter.com/theoshow. You send it in. Legit, people think it's a work. That shit goes right to my phone. I ain't giving you a fucking number, but that shit goes right to my phone. You can text me. Now, if you blow it up and shit, I can block you, but, you know, don't be a douchebag about it, you know? It's cool, man. It's a lot of fun. I love all the different avenues that we have to communicate with all of you. If you have comments, feedback about anything you heard over the last, I don't know how long we've been talking, leave it for us on any one of those vehicles. You can also go to facebook.com/theoshow, and you can go to our site, theoshow.com. You can comment there. Y'all know this shit. I'm just reminding you. And, yeah, man, do it up. Give us your feedback. I'm sure, you know, Pac would be interested to hear what you guys thought about this little powwow that we just had. And Rico always gets hot at me when I don't print out his fan mail anyways, so.
I gotta urinate so bad right now.
Go piss, man.
See me over here squirming?
Go piss. Thank you, X-Pac. Thanks, Rico.
No problem.
All right, guys. We'll talk to you later on the tour.
We're gonna take you. We're gonna take you. The old show's gonna take you on the road. That's right, we're gonna take you. We're gonna take you. The old show's gonna take you on the road. In the locker room, baby. Back in the hotel, in the restaurant. Where we go, you never can tell. Oh, you didn't know. This is how it goes. You on the road with the old show.